the Air Force's revised tanker RFP doesn't look good for Boeing. 9 firefighters are missing in a California helicopter crash, and the airlines were a little more punctual in June. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, August 7th, 2008. Boeing's successful challenge of the U.S. Air Force's award of an aerial tanker contract to Northrop Grumman and Eads may be looking like a hollow victory about now. The Air Force accepted a recommendation from the Government Accountability Office that the contract be rebid, and details of the revised request for proposal have been leaked to the media. The new RFP has changes from the last one and appears to make Northrop's Airbus-based KC-30 a stronger contender than before. Reuters reports that in its 98-page briefing, the Pentagon says it will place greater emphasis this time on capabilities above and beyond the original RFP. Northrop Grumman's offering carries 22% more fuel than Boeing's KC-767, which fit the original terms almost exactly. Operational utility, survivability, airlift capability, and operation off shorter runways, all things that Boeing's plane could do better, have been assigned lower priorities in the new RFP. The Pentagon is expected to announce an October 1st deadline for revised bids, then choose a winner by the end of this year. There are conflicting reports of fatalities following the crash of a Sikorsky S-61 firefighting helicopter in Northern California. 4 firefighters are reportedly in critical condition after the Hilo hit terrain Tuesday evening while transporting personnel to battle a fire. The Sacramento Bee reports the helicopter was operated by Carson Helicopters and crashed at the north end of the Buckhorn Fire at 7:45 p.m. The accident site is about 15 miles northwest of Junction City. The FAA reports 13 people were on board, but makes no mention of fatalities. 4 were initially taken to Mercy Medical Center in Redding, and 2 were later transferred to the UC Davis Regional Burn Center. Officials said Wednesday 9 firefighters were missing and presumed dead. The U.S. Forest Service has confirmed there were fatalities, although it's not clear how many. The accident reportedly occurred in VFR conditions. The National Transportation Safety Board has dispatched a team. Flights operated by the nation's largest airlines arrived on time at a higher rate this past June than in June of last year, but at a lower rate than in May of this year. The monthly Air Travel Consumer Report was released on Tuesday by the U.S. Department of Transportation's Bureau of Transportation Statistics. The 19 carriers reporting recorded an overall on-time arrival rate of 70.8% in June. Once again, Hawaiian Airlines posted the best on-time performance at 92%. American Airlines was worst, with 58.8% of its flights arriving on time. The U.S. carriers reported a mishandled baggage rate of 5.15 reports per 1,000 passengers in June. That's a big improvement over June 2007's rate of 7.94 per 1,000. You can find details of the report in the text version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. Following a 5-week delay due to damage at the production facility, this week, the center fuselage section of Boeing's fourth 787 Dreamliner arrived at the plane maker's assembly center in Everett, Washington. The Seattle Times reports the Section 44 mid-body barrel arrived on Monday night, hours after the aircraft's nose section came in from Wichita. Crews began joining the sections of the Dreamliner No. 4 on Tuesday. The technician who damaged that 84-foot section of the fuselage by improperly drilling fastener holes has reportedly been fired by Global Aeronautica in Charleston, South Carolina. It's not yet known how the delay will affect Boeing's already tight flight test schedule for the 787. The first Dreamliner is slated to fly in November, with deliveries commencing in the third quarter of 2009. Boeing will ultimately have 6 787s in what's expected to be a 10-month flight test program, and another 2 used for ground testing. Coming up next, L3 Avionics introduces a way to retire steam gauges for good. LAX officials try to figure out why they're getting threats from Qantas. And NASA scientists explain why they're noncommittal about life on Mars. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 7th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. L3 Avionics Systems has followed up last week's announcement of the availability of synthetic vision for the Smart Deck glass panel by introducing the Trilogy ESI 1000 electronic standby instrument, the first solid-state integrated standby system created specifically for Part 23 aircraft. Trilogy is expected to receive certification early next year. Company President Adrian Stevens commented, quote, "There are thousands of glass cockpits flying today with outdated analog instruments. Trilogy puts all the necessary backup information in one place and in a layout pilots can read easily. It's a tremendous step in safety for modern cockpits, and it completes the glass layout desired by so many," unquote. Trilogy replaces the usual standby instruments common in today's glass cockpit-equipped aircraft by combining attitude, altitude, airspeed, and optional heading data on a clear 4x3-inch active matrix LCD display. The instrument fits in a standard 3 ATI mounting cutout and uses an integrated air data computer, solid-state attitude sensor, and optional external magnetometer to present accurate flight information independent of other systems. An ambient light sensor is integrated for automatic brightness control on both the screen and the keyboard. Trilogy units will be calibrated to 400 knots and 55,000 feet, with the ability to store aircraft configuration and options at the time of installation. The model will be available through OEMs as well as for retrofit. Exact pricing will be announced closer to certification. Officials of the Los Angeles International Airport are trying to make sense of comments from an executive from Qantas, who appears to be threatening to pull his Airbus A380 operations from LAX and move them to San Francisco. The Sydney Morning Herald reports that just a week after Qantas representatives visited LAX and praised the airport's preparations to handle the enormous aircraft, Qantas Executive VP Wally Mariani said this in an interview with Jane's, quote, "If in the future LAX is unable to keep up with the need for additional gates, we would be forced to relocate our A380 services to San Francisco. Should that ever be required, it would be a major economic loss to Los Angeles, and we would regret it. We've made a large investment in our A380s for the benefit and enjoyment of our passengers, and we do not intend to lose it on the ground," unquote. LAX is in the middle of spending $723 million in renovations to handle the Super Jumbo, including adding gates. Mariani says many of those gates aren't attached to the main terminals. LAX spokeswoman Nancy Castles tells the paper LAX has purchased 8 gates to handle the A380, 2 of which will be attached to the terminals from the start. Qantas has only announced plans to operate 2 of the planes on routes serving LAX, so it's not clear what Mariani is worried about. The other 6 gates will be connected to terminals by 2012. Following days of speculation about the possibility of conditions on Mars that could support carbon-based life, Phoenix Mars mission scientists spoke Tuesday on their investigation of perchlorate salts detected in soil analyzed by the Wet Chemistry Laboratory aboard the NASA Phoenix lander. Perchlorate is an oxidant ion which could play a role in the metabolism of life, but can also be toxic under certain conditions. Some microorganisms on Earth are fueled by processes that involve perchlorates, and some plants concentrate the substance. Perchlorates are also used in rocket fuel and fireworks. Phoenix principal investigator Peter Smith of the University of Arizona, Tucson, says, quote, "We decided to show the public science in action because of the extreme interest in the Phoenix mission. Right now, we don't know whether finding perchlorate is good news or bad news for possible life on Mars," unquote. Mission scientists will continue in their attempt to validate the perchlorate discovery and determine its concentration and properties. It looks as though the airlines aren't the only ones forced to tighten their belts to deal with high fuel prices. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram quotes officials at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport in reporting one of the airport's terminals may be closed in response to an anticipated decline of 7% in airline traffic there. Airport officials are budgeting for fiscal 2009, which begins in October, and American Airlines, which operates a hub at DFW and accounts for 80% of the airport's commercial traffic, plans to cut 42 flights there starting in September. The paper reports airline cutbacks will reduce airport revenue by $23 million. At the same time, costs are rising $24 million. Airport Chief Executive Jeff Fagan told his board Tuesday to consider pulling $10 million earmarked for capital improvements into the operations account, increasing landing fees, and possibly even closing a terminal. Officials say 35 to 40 of DFW's 155 gates are currently unused, and they're scattered around the airport's terminals. If operations were consolidated to allow closing one whole terminal, airport CFO Chris Poinsatti estimates it could save up to $21 million. Among the resulting issues would be negotiating changes with the airlines and dealing with vendors who have leased retail space at the terminal to be shut down. The airport board is scheduled to consider the budget at a meeting tonight. Still ahead, 10 teams have signed up for the XPRIZE Lunar Lander Challenge. Eclipse customers get a service center in Western Canada. And a TV pastor's wife faces a lawsuit over an alleged assault on a flight attendant. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back to wrap up your Aero briefing for Thursday, August 7th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The XPRIZE Foundation announced on Tuesday that 10 teams will compete in the 2008 Northrop Grumman Lunar Lander Challenge, which will take place at Holloman Air Force Base in Alamogordo, New Mexico, October 24th and 25th. The challenge is a two-level, $2 million competition requiring a vehicle to simulate trips between the moon's surface and lunar orbit. XPRIZE Chairman and CEO Dr. Peter H. Diamandis commented, quote, "We are excited to see new teams in the competition, and I'm confident that we will give away the prize money this year," unquote. Armadillo Aerospace of Mesquite, Texas will make its second appearance. Armadillo came very close to winning the prize last year. Newcomers include Bonova, based in Tarzana, California, a company established for the sole purpose of winning the Lunar Lander Challenge. Paragon Labs, Phoenicia, True Zero, and Unreasonable Rocket are other new entrants. Four more have requested to remain confidential. That confidentiality period ends 60 days before the start of the competition, so the XPRIZE Foundation will be able to publicly announce their names later this month. You can read details of the teams which have been identified by name in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. The XPRIZE Foundation manages the Northrop Grumman Lunar Lander Challenge for the NASA Centennial Challenges Program, which provides the $2 million prize purse for the competition. While the competition normally takes place at the XPRIZE Cup, the Cup has been postponed until 2009, and the Northrop Grumman Lunar Lander Challenge will be a solo event this year. Eclipse Aviation announced to its customers at AirVenture that Harbor Air of Vancouver, British Columbia will be Eclipse's first designated service center for the Eclipse 500 in North America. Harbor Air will provide maintenance, repair, and overhaul support for Eclipse 500 operators in Western Canada, with the opportunity to expand into Eastern Canada and Alaska. Harbor Air will also support service requirements for Eclipse 500 operators in the northwestern United States until the Eclipse Service Center network in the U.S. is fully implemented. Harbor Air will extend the existing Eclipse Service Center network, which now includes centers in Albuquerque, Gainesville, Florida, and Albany, New York. eTurk Aviation oversees two more designated service centers in Europe, Jet Support in Amsterdam and Air Liper in Madrid. Victoria Osteen and her husband Joel are co-pastors of the Lakewood Church in Houston, preaching to 42,000 people each week in person and millions more on TV worldwide. But soon she'll have a much more intimate audience, with 12 jurors. Continental flight attendant Sharon Brown has sued Ms. Osteen, claiming she became enraged over a spill on the armrest of her first-class seat on a flight from Houston to Vail, Colorado in December of 2005. Ms. Brown says Ms. Osteen threw her against a bathroom door and elbowed her in the left breast. Fox News reports the flight attendants asked to have Osteen removed from the plane, but she and her family left voluntarily. Osteen denies the charges of assault, but the FAA fined her $3,000 for interfering with a crew member during the flight. Osteen attorney Rusty Hardin denies the allegations, calling the case silly and absolutely insane. Attorneys for both sides are attempting to select a jury. Joel Osteen is expected to testify on his wife's behalf. So, why the big deal almost 3 years later? Well, Sharon Brown says the incident affected her faith, caused her anxiety, and left her with hemorrhoids. And finally, John Werenberg puts up with some unusual passengers in his Cessna. On a recent flight out of Knoxville, Tennessee, they got down on all fours, made a racket at cruising altitude, and had to be restrained during the flight. No, I know what you're thinking. This is not a joke about the Vols football team. No, these passengers were five dogs, scheduled to be euthanized at Knoxville's Young Williams Animal Center. Werenberg flew them to an animal rescue facility in Greensboro, North Carolina, for adoption. The Knoxville News Sentinel reports Werenberg often flies dogs to places where they can be adopted. He wishes he could do more. 12,000 animals were killed at the shelter in 2007 alone. Since February, Werenberg has flown 48 dogs to Greensboro. Werenberg and a friend have formed Pilots and Paws in the hopes of enlisting more pilots. So far, the group has flown over 60 dogs around the country, but almost two-thirds of those were flights made by Werenberg himself. He's looking for some more help. Quote, "They didn't ask to be brought into this world or to be abused. They are always friendly, forgiving. I think we owe them something," unquote. If you'd like to be part of the effort, find details, photos, success stories, a pilot's forum, and contact info at www.pilotsnpaws.org. And if you're a Vols fan, do it for Old Smokey. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, you'll hear my conversation with 2008 CFI of the Year, Max Trescott, at EAA Air Venture. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.